These people couldn't wait to spring, right? Complaining about these allergies kicking. They're everywhere, aren't they? Yeah. But I guess if that's the only thing you've had a great day. I want to give more of a lecture and a lesson today about life. You know, there's just sometimes, it's just life. And one of the things that we need to learn is sometimes it's the road we pick that causes us the problem.
Teach.
And then we want to blame it on God. You know, a lot of folks, you know, especially Christians, well, the Lord is trying to teach me something. And he said, no. You took that road. There used to be a song, "He knows just how much you bear, man." Well, I believe that. And people say, you know, the God won't put anything on you that more than you can handle. And then my thing is, but you will.
That's right.
You understand what I'm talking about? So he had nothing. And most of the people in here that can say amen to this, have you ever put more on you than you could handle?
Yes, sir.
And you made that choice.
Yes, sir.
And then you had to suffer the consequences, right? And then we want to blame it on God. God had nothing to do with that at all, right? And so a lot of people, you know, it's just like I tell you, I use me. And when I had to have major surgery, God had nothing to do with that. Now, he uses me now as an example of people how to deal with it. But if I'd have listened to my wife 2 years before, you with me?
Teach.
2 years before, then I wouldn't have had to have major surgery, right?
Teach.
All right, so God didn't put that on me, right?
That's right.
He actually spoke to me. Because did you all know that God uses other people, some people sometimes as your mouthpiece?
That's right.
As his mouthpiece, excuse me. He uses people sometimes as his mouthpiece. Many times, if you look in the Bible, he always sent somebody to talk to somebody most of the time. He sends a person to talk to a person, you know. And we talk all that. If he would come right down here now and start talking, he'd clear this whole church out.
That's right.
Okay. And every time he showed up, folks fell on the ground, played dead, act like they did all kinds of, you read it, right? But so what we want to talk about today is there's a person that everybody needs in their life, you see? There's a person that everybody needs in their life, and that's the person that God sends to you. I hear people sometimes tell me, well, I'm looking for a church. I said, you're going to have that all wrong. You better be asking God to show you, direct you where you need to be.
That's right.
Right? Didn't that make sense? You see, because when I'm looking for something, if I was looking for a church, I'd look for one that I was comfortable.
Come on.
I've told y'all all the time, if I was going to look for a church, I'd be in a mega church because I could hide in a mega church.
That's right.
And the pastor wouldn't know who I was. I wouldn't, you know, and I could, you know, you could go shopping or anything, right? And they would know, and you would know the people. And what I would do is every week, I'd sit someplace different.
Come on.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Come on.
Yeah, I'd sit someplace different. So what would happen is I would never, ever have a group to fellowship with, right? Does that make sense?
That's right.
Some people do that, and I'm not cutting them. I mean, because they're doing. See, I'd go to a church like Joel Osteen's church. I think they got like 20,000 members or something set in there. See, and nobody would ever get to know who Johnny Fields was, right? And then I could go to work on Monday. I was at church.
That's right.
You see, I would never get called out. You see, I would never have to do anything because, you know, they got folks do all that stuff. I'm really being serious, but it didn't work that way for me. And you hear? Didn't work that way for you. You see? Sometimes in life, we look at things and we don't really use the power that God has given us. There are people that are saved that have lived a life of hell.
That's right.
I'm not talking about going to hell. There are people that are saved because they don't really get it. You know, they got saved. It's being saved is free. taking Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He done all that for you. Living the life is hard. Because you got to be listening. And remember, Satan doesn't care not you being saved. He really upsets him that you're saved. So he wants to make you as miserable as he can. Saved but miserable. You understand that? You know, I like telling jokes. You know, it's like a lot of people want to get married. They get married but miserable. Because all they done was what? Got married. Didn't look at the unequally yoked thing.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So we do that as people. We get ourselves in bad positions, and we accept those bad positions because we think, well, that's just the way it is. You understand where I'm coming from? And so we want to learn something. There's going to be a lot of reading, but we want to learn something. There's a place in my life, and the way I would like for my life to be is going to be this scripture, Luke 3 and 5. Because, you know, if you really sing some songs, especially in the African-American church, we sing songs about climbing mountains and highs, you know, and being in the valley. You know how those things is. You know, it's always hard stuff. You see, and then we tell people that on our jobs, and they're like, "Ooh, you ain't living no better than me." Right? We're always singing it. And see, and so sometimes, listen to me very carefully, we accept things that we shouldn't accept.
Yes, sir.
Some of the mountains in your life that you're climbing, you shouldn't accept that. God didn't put that mountain in front of you.
That's right.
You put that mountain in front of you. Some of the valleys going on in your life, he didn't do that. You put yourself in that valley. Don't get upset. All right, just say amen, because like you're talking to somebody else, but really you. All right? And many of us, if we look at it right now, you could have a valley of being in sickness, things that you put on yourself.
Come on.
You see?
That's
you
right.
Understand? You all hear the newest thing out now that cancer is at this highest rate for people under 50. Now, and these are people living in different areas. So something is in the air or somewhere, because these folks ain't eating the same stuff.
Right.
All right? So we've got, you know, and then we found out now that plastic bottles, you all saw the plastic bottles, it's got stuff in the plastic bottles that can get in your arteries, and your arteries don't know how to push them out, and it can cause you to have a heart attack. You see? You understand that? So there are things that man has put on man that has nothing to do with God.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what we want to do is, once I figured this out, then my life became good.
That's right.
All right? I started making better choices in my life. And the reason I was making better choices, what happened, Pastor? I started asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me before I made the choice. Does that make sense? Before I'd make the choice, get in trouble, and ask the Holy Spirit to get me out of it.
There you go.
Oh,
teach.
I'm the only person in there that's done
Come
that,
on,
right?
Teach.
You understand what I'm saying? And so we want to try to get a little lecture out of this, okay? Here we go.
And church, we're looking at God's direction to the right path. And we're told in Luke chapter 3, verse 5 from the King James, every valley shall be filled.
So every valley shall be filled, right? So there shouldn't be a valley, okay, that you have to go down into. That valley ought to be filled. All right? Here we go.
And every mountain and hill shall be brought low.
And you shouldn't have all these mountains in your life. They ought to be brought low on level ground. See, sometimes we live with too many valleys and too many mountains. We up and down, up and down. And there's some songs that we like to hear. God is the saying in the valleys, in the mountains. Pretty song, nice song. But I'm past all that now. I'm tired of mountains and valleys in my life. I want boundaries.
That's right.
All right, here we go.
And the crooked shall be made straight.
And the crooked shall be made straight. You see, some of us have been on such a crooked path, we dizzy.
Say it. Say it.
You understand what I'm saying? Somebody knows what I'm talking about up here. Here we go.
And finally, the rough ways shall be made smooth.
And these rough ways shall be made what?
Smooth.
Smooth. So this is what I want my life to be. This is what I want my life to be. All right, here we go.
The message says, make the road smooth and straight.
And that should be our prayer. Lord, make my road smooth and straight.
Every ditch will be filled in.
And fill in every ditch. Fill it in. So I don't have these up and downs. Up and down, up and down. I want balance in my life. Okay?
Every bump smoothed out.
And all these bumps smooth out. He can do that. Okay?
The detours straightened out.
And all these detours straightened out. And some of us, we had so many detours, we don't even know where we're at now. Want these detours straightened out. Straighten out these detours. Okay?
And all the ruts paved over.
And all the rest is paved over. Boundless. Okay? So here's one of the greatest examples in the whole Bible. We're going to talk about Paul, Saul. I mean, he had zeal. I mean, he had a great zeal, you see. Mm-hmm. And there are people who have, like, they have great energy, you know, and there are people who have great commitment, okay? Unfortunately, some of them are committed to the wrong thing.
Things.
You see, I tell folks all the time, and people hate this word that I'm getting ready to use. Most folks, if not spiritual, know the difference between ambition and God's calling.
Teach.
There are people who really haven't got it. You're not successful in what you're doing because you're not going by God's calling and you're following ambition. And if you follow ambition, you're going to have some high mountains, some low valleys. You're going to have some detours. You're going through all of this, and they'll go their whole life and never get to where God would have him to be because they're not listening to a person that we're going to talk about later on in there.
That's right.
You understand where I'm coming from? Are y'all getting this? All right. I'm going to try to do some of this because there's a lot of reading. So Paul, Saul was going to the high priest to get permission to put some Christians in jail. Okay? That's what he done. Saul went to a place to put Christians in jail. He wanted to murder Christians, put them in jail, and do everything he could to make Christians' life miserable. And he had such a zeal to do that, he went to the high priest to get to get more information, where he could go, and how he could do it, when he could do it, where he could do it. Do you understand? He went there to get some directions and get the authority from the high priest. And he went there and probably said, I'm coming after these Christian people. They called them people of the way then. He said, these people of the way. That's what they were called before they were called Christian. Christians are anarchy, you all know all that. But so he went there to get information. Yeah. See, the key to it is you always have to get information to mess with folks.
That's right.
Could Satan touch Job without getting information, getting the authority from God?
No.
So he went to God and said, no, you can't mess with him. I can't mess with him because you got a hedge around him.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says, right? The Bible says that God called them all together, because I'm looking at it like you don't read the Bible. It said that he went to the, and Satan went with all of the, when God called the angels, you know he's an angel, right?
That's right.
He went there. And he was going to and fro, seeing who may what? Devour. God said, had you tried my servant Job, right? And he said, yes, but you got a hedge around him. Now, is that the scripture?
That's right.
Because I know all you all know that scripture because you're smart enough to ask God to put a hedge around you. Yes. You think?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it worked if it worked for Job. And then if anything happens to you, then he has to get permission from God
right. For
something to happen to you because you got this spiritual hedge around you and he cannot touch you.
That's right.
That's the ultimate, right? So here we go. Are y'all with me?
Yes,
now, we're learning something now. Remember what I'm trying to get you to understand. So some of you sitting in here, okay, you all been running and going up and down hills. Have you ever been in the old church? And when you get one of them sisters that can really sing, she blow it out. Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb. folks be hallelujah and going on. There ain't no place in here where God said you need to be a mountain climber.
That's right. Teach.
It ain't.
That's right.
You just got to reading it. Luke 3 and 5. He's supposed to make that mountain, to bring that mountain down.
That's right.
It can be a mountain of pain, okay? Poverty, loneliness, whatever it is, he brings it down, okay? But we go by tradition what we've heard, and we think it's right, but not here, right?
Right.
And so Paul went, let's get back to Paul. Paul went around seeing who, and it says, whether it be men or women, whether it be men or women, he didn't care.
That's right.
He just wanted the permission so that he could go and destroy some church folks.
That's right.
Go ahead, start where you want to start.
And then we're going to go down to verse 3 from Acts chapter 9. Mm-hmm. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Whoa, wait a minute. Now, he was on his way to do one thing, and what happened to him? Sometimes God has to knock folk down to get their attention.
That's right.
Right? So he knocked him down. He had been talking about, okay. And God talked to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And guess what? He didn't know what he was doing. Right? Go ahead, please.
And he said in verse 5, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.
Whoa. He said, wait a minute, folks. This is dangerous here. He literally wasn't persecuting Jesus, he thought, when he was persecuting the church. When you persecute the church, you're persecuting Christ. Amen. So I tell people, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, stay off of it.
Right.
So Paul was persecuting. Remember the story? He went there to persecute. He thought he was just going to get Christians. When Jesus knocked him off his heart and blinded him and said to him, hey, dude, you've been persecuting me.
That's right.
And there's been a lot of people who've got themselves in trouble persecuting God's folks. Oh, yeah, I've seen it happen. You see? People talking about this pastor ought to be this and this ought to be this. This church is this. Back off. Said, no, I ain't going there with you. You see, because when I persecute the church, I persecute Christ. Some of you are not getting it. Who in here's got a big family? All right, and a tough brother. You know the deal? Somebody mess with you, who shows up?
The brother.
Big brother shows up. Said, you've been messing with my little sister? That's just like messing with me, right? And you know what goes down, right? Now I made it more clear for you because I know you understand it better. Okay, here we go.
The voice said it this way. I am Jesus. I am the one you're attacking.
Oh, he says, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you're attacking. Okay?
It is hard for you to kick against the goads.
Oh, here we go.
So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Now, isn't it something that he's a tough boy? Just a few minutes ago, he's a bad boy. Yeah, I'm going to kill me some Christians, put me some folk in jail, these people of the way. Once he got knocked down, he's going to change his whole attitude. And sometimes God allows something that happens to us to fix our attitude.
Teach.
Not all the time, sometimes.
Teach.
Something happens to us that fixes our attitude. Okay? Now his attitude is changed, but he did know the Lord through his religion, but it wasn't for him. Because God had something else for him, okay?
Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
And he told him, "said now you need to get up. Get up and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Okay, here we go.
And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless.
I know that's right.
Hearing a voice, but seeing no one.
That's right, it would happen in here. We hear a voice, and I'm laid out down here. Y'all would be speechless.
And no one around.
And one, what's going on? You see? Let's be real. They're just like us.
That's right.
All right?
In verse 8, it says, then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one.
He was blind. Sometimes we need to be blind so we can see. We need to be blind our own attitude. our own desires, our own ambition.
Teach.
I'm talking spiritually here.
That's right.
Sometimes God needs to do that, okay? Because we're so blind, we're caught up in our ambition, and we can't see beyond what we desire for ourselves. You see? You're looking at somebody. I had no clue, no desire, still don't really want to be up here. The last place I thought I'd be in somebody's church talking about Jesus.
Right.
You see? You know, been doing this for years, right? I had to give up a whole lot of this. Had to give up weed. Back then, it wasn't legal then. Drinking, acting a fool, partying, having a good...
Teach.
Of course, I'm the only one in here. And having a good time. You see, I had to give up all that. You see? Oh, yes. I enjoyed my life.
Amen.
Now, a lot of these people talk about... Let me stop. Sister Denise, you'll get what I'm talking about. A lot of these people want to get them to... Oh, this, I was having me a good time. I wasn't sick. I didn't get sick till I met him. Come on here now.
That's right.
I wasn't sick. Had 50 cents more than I want to keep in my pocket. Let the good times roll. That's Ray Charles. But anyway, having everything. And thought I was living good, thought I was doing all right. Are you with me? So sometimes God has to blind us so we can see. All right?
In verse 9, it says, he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank.
Yeah, that's deep there.
Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias.
Here we go. But there was a certain disciple named Ananias. And here's where most Christians' problems at. They don't get that. Have you ever wanted the mercy of Jehovah or God? Mm. Have you ever wanted the compassion of Jehovah or God? The graciousness of God. Have you ever wanted that?
Teach.
And you know what Ananias means? Just what I told you.
That's right.
Sometimes God's mercy comes through somebody else. He uses somebody else to help you, to give you compassion. So everybody needs an Ananias. See, the problem we're having is we're talking to the wrong people. We're talking to somebody we like instead of calling up Ananias. It's amazing to me when I hear people say that I don't want to call pastor. If you don't want to call pastor, then you want to call a friend. You see, because pastor ain't your friend.
Teach.
Right? You see, your friend, somebody's going to agree with you. If you call pastor, you're calling him, you want an Ananias. But he don't have to be me. There are other Ananiases around you. Why aren't you calling those Ananiases?
That's right.
You see? Why aren't you listening to those Ananiases? You see? Because you want God's graciousness? Ananias. You want God's mercy of Jehovah? Ananias. God's compassion? I said Jehovah, but God's compassion? Ananias. So listen to me. God's mercy, compassion, and graciousness comes through somebody sometimes. He uses people for his mouthpiece.
That's right.
Is anybody with me this morning to understand what I'm talking
Amen,
about?
Amen, Pastor.
You see? See, we doing this sometimes. And Ananias right there sitting in the pew up front of you.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
You see what I'm talking about? Now stay, go up here with me. Go up here with me. God, let's say you're dealing, I used the word a while ago, if you're dealing with cancer, God will, you're trying to get an answer there. It's somebody in your church.
That's right.
You see? Can give you some direction. They can be your what? Ananias. They can be that person that will have mercy and teach you and pray for mercy and pray for compassion and do those things. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, so he told him, now there's a certain, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And he said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord.
Now here's where people get confused, okay? Do you know God has to speak to Ananias, and I want you to hear this part, okay? Because some of you in here need to hear this, okay? Go ahead.
The Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight.
So he told him to do what? Arise and go to the street called what?
Straight.
To that crooked road?
Straight.
Oh, to that hilly road?
Straight.
To that up and down road?
Straight.
straight. Said, rise and go to straight. Hey, remember the old days? I don't know if they say this anymore. Your parents, you straighten up.
That's right.
Y'all remember that?
Amen.
Yeah, that means you straighten up. I remember some of y'all too young, but there used to be a guy called Nat King Cole. Straighten up and fly, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sing it, baby.
You see? All right. You see what I'm talking about? And we used to listen to that song, Straighten Up and Fly Right. Some worldly songs make more sense than some of these spiritual songs we
sing. That's
right. You see? So there comes a time that we have to go to Straight Street. I'm just saying. All right, here we go.
And then he told him, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus.
So God's already got the plan up. It's just like if you can't come to Christ, he's already got the plan. He said, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to church, and I want you to go to church. There'll be a man there called Johnny.
That's right.
Or you might see somebody else in here. So you need to rise up, because something is blinding you from living the life that Christ would have you to live. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Something blinds us. Because the devil doesn't want you to live the life Christ wants you to live. You do know that, right?
Right.
Something is blinding you from the life that you are called to live, right? And so you haven't figured it out yet, but you don't need to figure it out because God's going to call Ananias, okay, to go down and meet you on what street? Yeah, okay.
And then he said, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias.
So God has already showed him, he's praying, that he would see a man called Ananias. He's got it all figured out for you. Okay? All right, here we go.
Coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.
And he's saying, you're not going to get sight from just a touch of praying. You're going to go to Straight Street. There's going to be a man down there named Ananias, and Ananias is going to touch you. But he's telling Ananias this. And this is what I like about the scriptures. Do you all know that there's some pastors that don't like you?
Yes. That's right.
No, because I'm going to take it for the pastors this morning, okay? Folks in the congregation, Brother Isaac, are always talking about, I don't like Pastor Fields. Yeah, folks is always talking about they don't like the pastor. They have no idea that he don't like you.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, right. Just because, come on here, he's Ananias doesn't mean he has to like you.
That's right.
Just because he's Ananias doesn't mean he even wants to deal with you. Read, please.
In 13, it said, Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your
saints. I've heard
from
many about this fool. That's what it'd be in real language.
We'd say,
How
much harm he's done to your saints.
He don't even like him. He said, I've heard a lot of bad things about this brother that's coming to Christ Temple North. And he's done a lot of bad things.
That's right.
Sit here. You see, you want Ananias to say, thank you, Lord. I'm going down there and do what you said. No. He says, no, I heard about him. So there's two challenges here. There's a challenge for somebody who needs Ananias, and there's another challenge for Ananias to go deal with somebody that he really doesn't care for.
That's right.
So a lot of times I tell people here when things happen to you and you have to deal with somebody that you don't want to deal with, it's on you, not them. You understand what? There are just certain people that you keep working with and working with. There are people sitting, I'm going to turn up and look at these rocks. There are people sitting in here now that don't know that they are baptized in ambition.
Teach.
And they're never going to be successful in their ambition, and they will never be successful in their life until they get out of their ambition, get to Ananias, get the information that they need, and answer their calling. That's how it happens. Your counselor didn't go to get her education to come to church and teach Christians about self-care. She had no clue that she would be talking to Christian people in a church about mental health. Most churches won't even let you come in and talk to them about mental health.
That's right.
She has no clue to do this. Has she done a great job? God puts you in places that you're not comfortable, that you're uncomfortable. And I tell people when they get comfortable, that's when you're in trouble, because God, when God calls you, he's going to put you in an uncomfortable situation.
That's right.
I can guarantee you that. You see, that's why there are people who are honest and people are not honest. I'm not comfortable being a pastor. Never was, never wanted to have that desire to deal with that. But see, God has blessed me to be able to do this for over 50 years to do that. And I'm still sometimes uncomfortable. But I understand that he puts you in an uncomfortable position, because if you get comfortable, you get stagnant.
That's right, teach.
Are you with me? And so I'm not the only Ananias in here. There are some others up in here. It amazes me, and I'm so proud of you all getting prayer, coming up getting prayer from Isaacs. You see, the Bible says if there be one sick among you, call for the elders of the church.
That's right.
You know what most churches get in trouble? Can I say it? They get all upset because the elders of the church didn't come to them. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says you go to Ananias.
That's right.
You go to the elders of the church.
That's right.
And they can pray for you. And it's very powerful, people. You know those people have the power. They got the anointing. They got the power not only to pray for your sickness, but to forgive you of your sins. Scripture. You see? Because sometimes I'm not sick in my body, but I'm sick in sin. And I need God to forgive me my sin and deliver me from that. So we got it straight. So for you people that don't like Ananias Fields, just think Ananias Fields ain't crazy about you either. So we good.
That's right.
I'm just doing God's work and you being obedient to God, and we'll get it done.
That's right.
Not liking each other, but loving each other.
That's right.
All right.
And again, Ananias talking about Saul in verse 14, he says, "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name."
Yeah. Wow. Keep
Bad
going.
Bad dude.
I'm telling you.
"But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine.'"
Here's how it works. We don't get to choose who God uses.
That's right.
Now, you understand what I'm saying? We don't get to choose who God uses. God said, "Go down here," and say, don't y'all get excited thinking you want to be Paul now, or Saul now, because he says, read that last three words again, the suffering part.
"And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name."
And?
"Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine."
Mm.
"To bear my name."
Well.
"Before Gentiles."
Well.
"Kings."
Mm-hmm.
"And the children of Israel. For in 16, I will show him how many things he must suffer my name's sake."
He's going to do what? Sometimes God calls people to suffer things for his name. So sometimes, I'm going to use this parable. Say parable.
Parable.
Sometimes people go through sickness so God can use them.
Right.
To glorify his name. You see? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes God, where you're sitting, right where your situation is, you thinking you're suffering. No. You're glorifying God's name.
That's right.
You're glorifying God's name. You understand what I'm saying? He makes the choice. We don't make the choice. The problem is the devil will try to mimic it and make you think that you're suffering for the wrong thing. You see, you know why I don't like you all sometimes? I have to suffer through cancer eight times to show you all to quit, get over your headache.
Come on.
Get over your little stomach ache.
Come on.
Get some Toms, you'll be all right. You see? But he uses me as an example of how to handle life in a smooth path and not let cancer take me down or pull me up.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Say that.
You see? You see? You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all getting it? Sometimes the place you're at is where you're supposed to be.
That's right.
You're trying to get out of it. And God said, no, 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 no. Stay there. Stay right where you're at. Because I'm going to use you to be a vessel. You see? And you can't break God's vessel.
That's right.
When God uses you as a vessel, nothing can break you of it.
That's right.
Okay?
In verse 17, it said, and Ananias went his way and entered the house.
After he had a talk with Jesus, had a little talk with Jesus, he went on his way, didn't care about this brother at all.
That's right.
But he wasn't doing it because he loved the brother. Why was he doing it?
Because
he's obedient to Christ.
That's right.
And that's what this whole message is about here this morning. You need an Ananias, and two things. Ananias was obedient to Christ. And there's a lot of people you walk around here thinking they don't care nothing about, they don't have that care. Because everybody wants to think that because a person's up here, he or she's up here, they lovey-lovey. No, they're not lovey-lovey. They're being obedient to God. You might have to go visit somebody you don't even like.
That's right.
And pray for some folks that you don't like. But you're doing it to glorify God. You see, you understand that? You may have somebody gets, you ever got somebody gets on your nerve, right? Yeah. They just gets on your nerve. They just open their mouth and it just turns you off right quick. But it seems like God puts that person in your life because he wants you to show that person what? Mercy, compassion, and graciousness through him.
That's right. That's right.
You see? So there are people, okay? So remember that, right? And don't try to figure out if you're one of them ones. I wonder if Pastor's talking about me.
Might be.
It might be. Could be. Keep going.
Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul.
Wait a minute. Here's what makes the difference. An unsaved person, when God's man or woman touches them, prays over them, and they get saved, they become a brother or sister.
That's right.
Come on, church. And that's what's wrong with churches today. I don't care where that person was, where they've been, when they come in the church and they give their life to Christ, that's your brother, that's your sister.
That's right.
According to the gospel.
That's right.
You see, the guy, he didn't even like him. Remember, he didn't like him.
That's right.
And told him, but now, after he prayed and laid hands on him and showed God's mercy and God's compassion and God's graciousness, and he touched him, he was able to look at him and say, come
brother
on, brother.
Saul.
Come on, Brother Saul. Come on, Brother Saul. And that's what we're supposed to do. Everybody look at me. Once people get saved, no little A, no little U's, big U's, no little I's, big I's, none of that. We brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
Period. Right, right. Yeah. We so busy pointing out who should be in the church, who shouldn't be in the church, and who can come up the pulpit, and who can't, and all this. No, 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 no. My sisters are just as important as my brothers.
That's right.
My sisters are equal to my brothers. They should have always been like that in the church. We just now waking up because women are not standing for being in the back row anymore. That's what's happened. They could have done it 100 years ago. We wouldn't be going through all this stuff now. Some of the best writers are the Joyce Meyers, and there's many, many of the best writers are women writers today because they can deal with the issues that men can't deal with. You see, more things has happened in churches pastor's room trying to deal with counseling women and have no idea what they were doing or talking about.
That's right.
Or going through. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But so now we understand it and we can say no matter where she came from, hi sister, and do it with God's compassion, God's mercy, and God's graciousness. All right?
Again.
Even somebody that didn't like you for a while, that you didn't like.
That's right.
Now you got to call them brother or sister. Because y'all got the same daddy.
That's right.
All right, here we go.
Again, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came in, has sent me that you may receive your sight.
Now, I didn't come on my own. I want you to know that.
He has
pastor,
sent me.
Pastor Fields did not want to be a pastor of Christ Temple, no north, east, west, south, or nothing. He didn't come on his own. He's standing up here because the Lord sent him. And somebody said, this old lady in church, you know, the most sisters are in church, You know, boy, if you don't do God's will, he'll kill you. Y'all know they used to say that in no church.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, and I kind of, that's why I'm here, because I'm obedient to him.
That's right.
You see? Are you with me? Yes. Not ambition, answering God's call. It makes me very uncomfortable. Somebody, I'm talking to some folks in here, not one. You're not going to be successful until you answer God's call and get out of ambition. You see? We do that with our children, especially with sports. Got kids in all these sports, and we got to want to do this, want to do that. Only, I think, like less than 2% go to the next level in the pros. Is that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But that's ambition. So we got our kids with ambition. I'm going to play in the NFL or NBA or WNBA, you see? And they don't make it, and they think they fell in life because you put them someplace that they shouldn't have been, and they were supposed to have been a doctor or a lawyer. Come on here.
That's right.
Or something. Or, and so because of ambition, they failed. If we put them what God called them to do, they'd be successful. Nobody has ever failed at answering God's call. Never has anybody ever failed answering God's call.
That's right.
Are you with me? And some of you ain't got much time. Get it together.
That's right.
Because see, people's ambition for me was to be in the Church of God in Christ. They said, me, because I'm more of a lecturer to the Church of God in Christ. You know the rules they got in the Church of God in Christ? That would never fit me. Them folks in church, first of all, they're in church 3 hours. Right, that ain't fit me. And first of all, the old ones thought it was a sin to watch football.
Hmm.
So we're in trouble now because, you know, sports. No, I'm serious. And you ladies say, all right, come on, ladies, say, when I say this, three of y'all couldn't be in the Church of God in Christ, sitting up here with y'all pants on. Come on here. They don't allow that, right? And in some of the churches, they don't allow women. Look at me. Everybody look at me. This is truth. They won't allow women like y'all to sit in the front row because it's distracting to the people in the pulpit.
Hmm.
I mean, that brother's eyes need to get saved. All right, go ahead before I get in trouble. All right, go ahead. No, that's the truth, people. No, that is the truth. I'm talking about to this day, right? Since y'all don't get me, you can't come up here. I don't know what's great about it. They don't let them come up here. Women can't come up in the pulpit. Y'all know that. That's ambition. Because we greater than you. Okay. That's why we come to this church. We come to learn. We come to grow. We come to get beat up. We come to hear the pastor can give us some information to help us clean up some things. We need to clean up some things in our life. You know, even though when you're doing good, Nick Saban's one of my favorite football coaches, retired. Even when he was winning, he said, yeah, we've done pretty good, but this week we're going to clean up some things. We need to clean up some things. He didn't care about the win. He was looking at the things that they'd done wrong that they needed to clean up so they could be better. And that's why we come here. We're going to clean up some of these things that we're doing wrong so to become better men and women, husbands and wives. Come on here, fathers, mothers. All right. And so who helps us do that? Ananias.
That's right.
All right? So next time you think you need to call Pastor Fields and get to talking about, well, you know how he is. Well, he knows how you are. Make the call.
That's right.
All right. All right.
And again, Ananias talking to Saul says, he sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
He sent me that you might receive your sight. Some were called, some were chosen and some went. And some were called.
That's right.
See, he sent me to give you this message today. Mm-hmm. Clean out some stuff. Ask yourself, are you following your ambition? Or are you answering God's call? And I don't care how old you are, God still have a calling for you. You all got children? Have you ever prayed and asked God to direct you through the Holy Spirit and asked you who this child is? Have you ever laid on, hands on your child and prayed for your child and asked God to give your child a clear vision?
Come on.
Have you done that? I know I've done that, but this is my job, all right? Really. Have you ever done that? Are you the Ananias in your house?
Well,
gentlemen, when your wife is sick, are you Ananias? Do you show her mercy? Do you show her compassion? Do you show her graciousness?
Teach.
Wives the same way?
That's right.
Mothers and fathers the same way? Sometimes your child doesn't need a lecture. They need compassion. They need graciousness. Are y'all your parents the Ananias for your children? It's your responsibility. And if you don't have the answers, get them to church where there is an Ananias.
That's right.
That could help them find their way. You see? Okay.
In closing, in verse 18, it says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales.
It fell from his eyes as soon as it was touched. He's no longer blind by the scales of ambition, his own desires. She's no longer blind by her ambition. She sees clearly now. You remember the song, I Can See Clearly Now? The
rain is gone.
All the obstacles.
In my view.
Because guess what? You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. I don't care who you are in here, whatever your situation is, let me find you an Ananias. Matter of fact, I pray that one will come.
That's right.
You're getting one today, because I guarantee you, half of that stuff I just asked, you ain't done. You see? We had a young lady, I'm so proud of her, Sister Nicole, I won't call her out. I was so proud of her, I was like a proud papa. Listening to her speech was incredible. You see? You know, she's got a doctor's degree. I don't. Who does she talk to? Ananias. Paul had a doctor's degree.
That's right.
Smartest man. He wrote more than half the Bible. I mean, New Testament. You see? But where to start with? An Ananias.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Let him or her come. You'll know who it is. And say, well, what if Satan describes? Pray for the spirit of discerning.
That's right.
Pray for the Holy Spirit to discern. The Holy Spirit may discern before you walk out here today. Pastor's right, there's your Ananias over there. Go over there and ask her. Ask him. And I ain't talking about counseling, trying to cheap your way out. Cheap your way out. I'm talking about people, God, that's her job. People who said that God is called spiritually to be your Ananias. To pray for you. Get them scales off.
That's right.
And start living that life that he read earlier. Smooth. Boundless. Straight. God good? Am I done?
Well done.
All right. Do better than that.